You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Oh, man, I'll tell you what, this week's guest, Danielle Panabaker, the Flash. Flash fans out there, I got Killer Frost on the podcast this week. You also know her from a bunch of stuff, kids' movies like Sky High, horror movies, which I love, The Crazies. I really like The Crazies. In this week's episode, we talk about how Danielle was teased as a kid for being a nerd and a teacher's pet. I was teased because I was dumb. Auditioning for Mean Girls and being crushed when she didn't get the part. I mean, crushed. How she loves the cast and crew of The Flash. Plenty of stories from set and getting nightmares after watching fucking Bambi.
Yep, she said she can't watch scary movies once it's dark out.
I couldn't date a girl who couldn't watch scary movies. Could you, Rob?
I would be fine with that. My wife doesn't like scary movies.
Really? I just love scary movies. It's like a thrill to me. It's like an adrenaline rush, like I said. Let's get inside of Danielle Panabaker.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
It's Rob. He's 28, 29. He's got a kid.
Shook his head.
He has a child. He's married already. He's already advanced in a lot of ways, more than I am.
He has a kid?
Yeah.
How old?
One.
He's 8 months.
Well, you round it. Isn't it easier to say one?
I don't know. I feel like with babies, like, you count.
Yeah, after a year, you go to years.
But all my friends are pregnant, so right now I'm in the stage of, like, counting in weeks. Like, oh, how many weeks are you?
But see, I think it gets annoying when people, like, when they start going past you, they're like, oh, how old's your kid? Oh, 26 months or 18 months?
That's true.
You mean a year and a half?
26 months, fucking, I feel like, is close to two. Like,
come on.
Can just round. I mean, he is the father, so he is sort of the expert in the room.
Is he?
I think.
Is he the expert?
He would know more than I.
Danielle Nicole Panabaker.
That is my full name.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go Nicole because Nicole kind of could be what?
What do you mean? I didn't want to go Nicole.
Well, Danielle's a better name than Nicole.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have a choice. My parents gave me that name. I guess I could have had a choice. That's actually.
Could have switched it around.
My sister went by her middle name for a long time.
What's her middle name?
Kay.
K. Mm-hmm. Every kiss begins there.
There you go.
Did she hear that in high school?
I don't think so.
Oh, God.
Well, because we didn't really go, neither my sister nor I really went the traditional high school route. So I got, like, teased in middle school, but not really in high school because I only went to my freshman
year. You got teased in middle school.
Oh, for sure. Who didn't get teased in middle school? Those who didn't go to middle school.
I didn't start puberty till late. I didn't have hair under my arms till I was, like,
is that last a thing? Week. Is that a thing in locker rooms?
I think for a guy, you want hair under your arms. Like, for a girl, you probably don't.
Yeah,
unless you're into that stuff and you're into the whole Grateful Dead stuff and you want hairy armpits.
To each their
own. Do you want that?
No, I don't.
No, I don't want that.
No.
But I wanted it.
In middle school.
I did. I wouldn't play shirts and skins. I've talked about this before, but when we played basketball, because if I was skins, people were like, Rosenbaum, you're 16. Why don't you have hair under your armpits? And I remember one time they said something, Mike Curry down the street. Hey, Rosenbaum,
so
why don't you have armpit
names
hair?
Never leave our heads.
No, but he was really hairy and I was the opposite. And I said, oh, I don't have any hair because I shave it because I'm on the swim. I'm swimming. I'm a swimmer.
I like that you had an answer.
I had an answer. I found out. I read that swimmers shave their body because it's the, what do you call it, Rob?
Aerodynamics.
Thank you.
And did Mike Curry buy it?
I probably not. Probably not. But I was a nerd. Like, you know, you were in middle school.
Oh,
I was in high school. I couldn't get, you know, nailed in wood shop.
Wait,
just didn't work
the
out
movie
for me.
You did with Morena,
mm-hmm.
Was that about your high school experience?
It was, no.
No, it was about a high school reunion.
It was more about a guy who was actually popular in high school, so that's why it was fantasy. And it was about a guy who wasn't happy with his life in Los Angeles, because all he's done is a couple commercials called Back in the Day, little plug. But he comes back for a reunion and sort of falls in love with the idea of being back home and the girl that got away. But all these things, and he's just, you know, he's not happy with his life. And he comes back to find that he still shouldn't be where he is. They stayed there for a reason.
Right. And he left families for a reason.
Yes. And so, exactly. That's sort of it. Wow, you're smart.
Thanks.
You're right. So you mentioned her because that's kind of how we met.
It is, I think.
Danielle Panabaker, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you today.
Of course, my pleasure.
I really appreciate that. That's what we say. I say every episode.
I like it.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Well, we met through Morena. She had a dinner party.
Yes. Was it like Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving or something?
I don't know, but it was at their fancy, it was like a nice little fancy house somewhere in the hills or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where we met.
That sounds right to me.
That's about it.
Had she had Julius by that point? Because Jules is a couple years old now.
Did she?
I don't know.
But I have a list in there. You know what? I do keep this thing where it's like, this is their kids. This is my friend Carrie. She has a cat named so and so. I have, because that's nice. I can't remember. I just
put it like in their contact in your phone book.
Well, don't you want to feel like you sort of like care, even though you do care, but you want you want to present it like, hey, they know the name. It makes them feel good.
Yes,
because
for
I forget things. It doesn't mean I love you less, Nicole. But you know what I'm trying to tell you?
Totally.
Do you do that too, or do you have a really great memory? One of those actresses that have just a great memory.
I have
memory.
A terrible memory for lines, but like in terms of holding on to stuff with people I love, I do try and hold on to information really well. My friend Ben Feldman for years used to. How'd you guess?
Feldman.
Every year I'd text him on his birthday and he would say, how do you remember? Like, I'm not even on Facebook. And, you know, there are things you just hold on to.
That's good. You seem like a good friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You do.
I have very good friends, so hopefully I can reciprocate.
Yeah. It's hard in this business to keep the same friends around. I mean, it's just you're doing so much and you're always busy. You're constantly
it
working.
Is.
You work in Vancouver.
Yes. I was going to say, you in particular, I think, can empathize because, you know, look, at least it's Vancouver to LA. Like, that's an okay.
Same time zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's where everything films, guys, out there. Every show,
gosh,
Flash,
so
Arrow, Smallville filmed there. Name another one.
I mean, Flash,
everything.
Arrow, Supergirl, Legends.
Deadpool, the movie.
Yes.
Everything films there.
Yes.
And was it easier for you because you kind of cross over into a lot of shows, right? Didn't you do Arrow? And
we do crossovers. So that is the only time really when we go to other shows. We're on the same lot as Arrow. I think Bates Motel used to shoot on our lot. And you would think that we'd see other people sort of wandering around the stages, but not really. I mean, not. I think we're all just so busy. And here's the other thing about Vancouver. It gets so dark and so rainy. It's not like it's nice to just go for a stroll in Vancouver in February.
Yeah, people, they say, oh my gosh, where do you film? I'm like, well, we filmed in Vancouver for 7 years. Like, oh, that place is awesome. I'm like, yeah, when were you there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was there in July with my hubby.
Yeah,
I'm like,
gorgeous.
Yeah, great. But 9 months a year, it's awful. I don't give a shit. I'll say it right now. I love Canadians. I love Vancouver. I don't care.
Too.
I'm going to be honest with you. Your country is, Canada's beautiful.
It's cold.
Vancouver, I can name most of the provinces there. I can in the territories. I know the whole anthem. Do you know?
No, not at all. By the way, it's...
Oh, Canada, our home and native land. And I do love Canadians.
Me too.
They don't have any anger issues. You ever seen a Canadian mad?
Yeah, I feel like I have.
I haven't.
No one in 7 years of filming Smallville, none of your crew members ever got mad at anyone?
I don't think so. And I don't know how they didn't scream at a couple of directors, but I screamed for them. I did. I said, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But
I've
Vancouver
seen them
is
mad. But like, it doesn't, it's a different kind of mad. You're right.
Yeah. I think Americans have a little more, they get hotter.
For sure.
Canadians are just even keeled, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure they leave and go, those fucking Americans. going out for a rip. They call it a rip. Did you know that?
No.
Going for a rip there, are you, bud?
Oh,
Canadians go for a rip.
That.
It's for a drink, I guess.
I think I have heard that.
Yeah. So you grew up where? In Georgia?
Sort no, I moved
so
every
wrong.
2 years growing up. I know. Don't believe everything you read on the internet.
I know.
Kids.
I had to because I had to look some information because we don't know each other that well. It's like, again, I talk about this in Hollywood. You don't know. We don't really know, but we're getting to know each other.
We
it's
are.
Great.
Moved almost every 2 years growing up until I have a younger sister who I mentioned earlier. And the two of us started.
Kay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't look at the paper either. I remember that. I care.
So we started acting, doing like community theater and stuff, and we moved to a couple different cities. And then once my sister and I had worked enough that people said, oh, you should go to LA. You should go to LA for a pilot season. That was probably close to 15 years ago.
But you're blitzing through all the, like, the,
yeah, because
I call
every 2 years.
It the important stuff.
Okay.
Because, you know, to you, I'm sure you told the story, and maybe you could, like, twist it a little bit, but moving around as a kid, it's hard
horrible.
Enough growing up as a kid just being in the same place. I didn't fit in. But so every 2 years, you're the new kid in
always
town.
Always the new kid. Yeah, it was tough.
Did you cry to your parents about it?
Oh, of course. The move from between Pennsylvania and Georgia in particular was really hard for me. Like when I found out that my dad was being transferred again, it was very traumatic and I was very sad.
And what did he do?
He works still for DuPont and he
DuPont.
Works in sales. Mm-hmm.
They make the vegetable stuff, the cans.
Stuff.
And what was mom doing growing up?
Raising my sister.
Which is as hard of a job, if not harder than what your
Being
dad was doing.
Being a mom or homemaker, yeah, totally.
Right, and you made good friends in these places, and then you had to leave.
Absolutely, yes.
Do you still hang out with them or talk to any of them?
No, I mean, you know, when I was in grade school, it was pre-email, pre-Facebook, pre-any of those things.
You're kind of lucky in a way. because everybody comes back out of the woodwork. They do. Hey, remember me? It's Susan Deering.
I mean, I am still friends with my middle school English teacher on Facebook. I don't
know. Wait a minute.
How. Yeah.
You were friends. So right away, this tells me how we differ. Because you're friends with a teacher.
Yes, Mrs. Smith. Which,
do you know in fourth grade, that was my favorite teacher? It was the only, oh, really? One of the only teachers I remember. There's a couple.
Aww.
But I have a feeling you were the bright kid, and the teachers loved you because you were smart and you were pleasant to be around. All right, so you became friends. You keep in touch with Mrs. Smith?
I mean, keep in touch is a loose term.
How old is Mrs. Smith?
She's retired now, so she's probably, I would guess, probably 60 or 70.
60 or 70?
Mm-hmm.
So you were popular in school or not so much?
Not popular at all.
No.
Always a big nerd.
Big nerd meaning what?
Oh, always like made fun of for, you know, a torture. I mean, middle school. I was also always really short, which is ironic because now I'm.
Yeah, you're a giant. You're not
thanks,
a giant.
Thanks.
No, but you're like 5'7". You're a good a height for
thank
a,
you.
A
I'm
lady.
I'm very happy with my height, but I was a late bloomer too. And so in middle school and high school, I was just this tiny little kid who happened to be really good at math. So I 100%.
Nine times seven.
I don't know, 63.
Eight times 12.
I'm not going to do this game.
You're not going to do it?
No.
But you said you're really good at.
I was. That was a long time ago. This is like, you know.
I was never good at math.
Never?
So I was hoping you'd help me out with a few of the problems that I've had today. Okay. So you were smart.
Ish, yeah.
And you didn't have a lot of friends?
I mean, moving every 2 years, it's hard to hold on to friends.
Do you feel like that affected you as an adult? Like you don't get too close to people maybe? Or is that not true?
I think I had to learn when I got older how to be a really good friend. You know, when you're only friends with someone for 2 years, like it's never, you never really have any big fights. Like, you know, like it's the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you grow up and, you know, I have women that have been in my life for 10 plus years now. And like, it's not always perfect. And, you know, as I got older, I think I had to learn how to be a good friend and how to communicate as a friend and that sort of thing.
Were you a tough kid?
I don't think so. I think I was and still am very sensitive.
You're very sensitive. Do you cry a lot?
Do I cry a lot? I don't know that I would say
what
I cry
makes you
a
cry?
Lot.
What makes you cry?
I don't know. I feel like I'm that person who, like, when I get so angry, I cry. When I don't quite have the words for it, it just somehow manifests itself in tears.
So you're moving around. At what age do you think it sounds? I mean, you didn't have a tremendous amount of confidence probably growing up.
No, I don't think so.
So why become an actor? And I want to hear this because what made you think, oh, I want to do that?
So we moved every 2 years growing up, and every time we moved to a new city, it was my parents tried to keep us involved in the community in various different ways. And, you know, Girl Scouts was the thing we did for a lot of years. But then when my family moved to Georgia, the public school system in Georgia at the time was not great. And so my parents ended up pulling us out of public school and homeschooling us. And so when you're homeschooled, I mean, it was me, my mom, and my sister.
Like, how old?
That was fifth and sixth grade. And so we started doing community theater. That was a way to like be around kids our own age and that sort of thing. So
and it wasn't even your idea.
I mean, I think it was one of the things that was an option. I think we also did cheerleading when we lived in the South and like that clearly wasn't meant for me. So we tried community theater and we loved it. And that was fun.
And your sister was doing this with you. So mm-hmm. So obviously you guys are best friends. And what's the age difference?
2.5 years.
You're older.
Yes.
Right. And so you guys stuck together. You're
totally.
Being homeschooled.
Oh, yeah.
Community theater is the only thing you're doing with like other kids. And so there's a strong bond. So your best friend, you had to hold on to each other.
Absolutely. Also, you know, again, moving every 2 years, like all we had was each other, really.
Did you guys fight?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's the screamer? Are you okay?
Who's the screamer?
Who's the thrower? There's got to be a thrower in there. My brother threw golf balls.
It's been so long since we've had a fight like that.
Oh, my God. My brother's thrown everything at me.
Really?
Here's what happens.
Everything?
Not now. But he would lose his temper. And it's probably what serial killers do. So in a normal person's mind.
I'm not sure how your brother's going to feel about you equating
him to
a
serial killer. He'll like it. He'll understand. We have a crazy family. But you see, I think like, you know, if you get super mad at someone, the first thing you think of probably if you're a murderer or a serial killer is killing them.
Okay.
So my brother's first thought was, I've got to throw anything at him that is within arm's length.
Grab.
So I don't care what it was. It was this mic stand. If it was a chair, whatever he could throw. And he could have killed me years ago. I choked him out once.
I mean, thank goodness he didn't kill you. I mean,
yeah.
Really? You choked him out? Yeah, isn't necessary.
Well, I didn't really choke him out. I didn't kill the guy. But I mean, we didn't like each other growing up.
I think that's the difference between boys and girls, too.
He was spoiled. Yes, that's true. Girls don't want to kill each other, do they?
No.
Although one of your favorite movies I read is Mean Girls.
Oh, I did love that movie. Yeah, well, it was a great movie.
There's the dark side I'm looking for.
For sure. I mean, look, we can go back to being tortured in middle school. Like, everybody lives through that.
What was the worst thing someone said about you that you just always kind of stuck with you? You know how I have those things where if somebody said something, you're like, oh, you're short or you're, you know what rings with me is you're dumb.
It's so funny how that stuff from our formative years just like sticks with us. I mean, I don't know that I necessarily remember anything in specific. I just was teased for being a nerd. Like, and I feel like ultimately that's something, you know, I would try and downplay.
Well, what nerdery things?
I mean, I was, again, like, no, like being, I did okay at school. And I think, you know, I guess sort of the idea of being a teacher's pet. I, again, excelled at math, which is really a shame because I didn't stick with it. But, oh, yeah, kids used to joke that I was clearly, like, much older than whatever age I was pretending to be. And I just cut my legs off at my knees to come back and go be a middle school student again. Again, with also the being short thing. Like, wow. Kids are crazy.
Do you feel like you take things too seriously now in life, that you'd like to be more playful or fun or let that inner child out? Do you think you're too much of an adult still to this day, or do you think you've always had a balance and they just didn't see it?
Oh, I don't think I've always had a balance. I think that's something that I certainly work toward now. It's like knowing the difference between, you know, when it's time to have fun, I am a big believer. Like, you have to cut yourself a break.
You can let go.
100%.
Okay, so you're doing community theater. Mm-hmm. And what play was it or something that you were like, this is just fun, I want to keep doing this?
Oh, all of them were fun. I mean, that was a kids' community theater, so it was a lot of, like, I don't know, Beauty and the Beast or what were other
Alice
ones?
Alice in Wonderland.
Did? Yeah, like, exactly, Alice in Wonderland, things like that. So it was great. And then we moved to Chicago, and then there wasn't as much – we didn't do as much theater there, and then we started doing commercials and stuff and different things.
So commercials making money.
Yes. So, well, yeah. It's so funny. This is a story – I don't know that I've ever told before. At some point, you know, somebody said to my parents, you know, your girls are really talented. Like, you should consider letting them do this professionally. And my parents were really against it. And then I think someone told my dad, you know, how he did one national commercial and made, you know, $10,000 or something. And my dad was like, well, that could be their college funds. Like, maybe we should try. And so that was, I mean, I think we had agents in Atlanta. And yeah, that was sort of how the ball got rolling.
But then you were good and you were booking them and he couldn't stop you. It wasn't like a one and done kind of thing. Kay were both booking commercials?
Yeah, we were both working. I do think my parents had to make sacrifices for it. Like, you know, this is another one of my favorite stories to tell is when someone first said to my parents that we should try LA, try for a pilot season, my mother didn't drive on freeways. So the idea of coming to Los Angeles was pretty intimidating.
Right.
So, you know, they certainly had to make sacrifices to make it happen for us to get to the auditions and then to get to the jobs.
And how old were you when you moved to LA?
We came out for a pilot season probably when I was 14.
14.
Mm-hmm.
When did you graduate high school? How old were you?
So, and this is a value that I also really have, is that my parents really valued education, and getting their kids as best an education as they could was important to them. So when we started coming to LA for a pilot season, if you pull a kid out of school, like, the schools are not happy about that because they don't get funding when they don't get the money for the kid if the kid's not in attendance and that sort of thing. So the only way my parents would pull us out of our excellent public schools in Chicago was if we kept up with our schooling here in California. And state to state, and I learned this growing up so much because every state has different rules about what's important and at what grade you teach things. Like, you know, I was probably taught American history in every grade, but I never got world history because each state is different. And sometimes they teach in fourth grade, sometimes they teach it in fifth grade. And so I just miss stuff because...
Did you ever catch up on world history? I'm watching the Vietnam War on PBS.
Are you? Jeez.
Pretty spectacular. 20 hours.
Oh.
I like to spend time alone.
So when we came out to California, again, public school districts, very different. So the only way to sort of match what my public school in Chicago was doing was to start going to college, a community college. So
how old are you when you're doing this?
I was 14 or 15.
So you're Doogie Howser.
There was a real conversation about whether or not, because I was a minor going to a community college, and there was a conversation about whether or not I would have to wear a uniform so that it would be very clear to anyone on campus that I was young, that I was 15 minor.
Okay.
Fortunately, they didn't make me wear a uniform.
So it's the opposite psychological effect that you had as a kid, where people think, oh, you're too old now because you're like a teacher, you're so smart, and come back, now you're going and they're putting whatever on your back.
A scarlet letter. So I did an independent study program out here to graduate from high school quickly in California and then just start going to college.
Where'd you go to college?
So I did my first 2 years at Glendale Community College, and then I transferred to UCLA.
There's an Olive Gardener there.
Is there?
Yeah, I love the Olive Garden.
Of all the breadsticks you can, breadsticks and salad?
They send me things.
Olive Garden does? Yeah,
they do. They sent me a hockey jersey because I play hockey on Monday nights. They sent me, it says Rosenbaum on the back.
Amazing.
They sent all my friends t-shirts, Olive Garden
t-shirts.
I had
no idea you liked Olive Garden.
They sent me a never-ending pasta coupon for 2 months to eat pasta twice or three times a year. I have a big group of friends for a birthday or whatever.
That's
and they pay
fun.
For the whole thing.
That's very generous.
That's at least $100 meal right there. I mean, this is the Olive Garden. This dreams come true. Do you realize I've already done enough that I could have left the business years ago? Olive Garden.
Right, you just live off Olive Garden.
Six Flags. I go, you know what? I'm like a kid. I like the little things in life. I don't need the Lamborghinis and the Countaches and the giant. All I need is a little Olive Garden and a dog and some, you know, some fun.
Yeah, some roller coasters every once in a while.
Yeah, you like roller coasters?
Nope,
you
not
don't.
At all.
Not at
no.
all. Mm-mm. You don't like fast?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't like going upside down?
Nope, I don't really need any of it, to be honest.
What? But it is hard. It's hard. You know, it's like you don't want a pity party because it's like, oh, you know, I think a lot of times people will say, oh, she's an actress. She's like lives this glamorous life. She does this. And she's away and she's in Vancouver and everybody thinks it's just all. And you don't want to complain. You're like, it's better than digging ditches. It's
100%.
A million percent. But there is an essence of, I miss my family. I miss them. When I was on Smallville for 7 years, my family was on set.
Yes, 100%.
That's the only family I knew, 10 months a year.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you get really emotional or sad because you miss your family. And even when you're not working for the 2 months, it's like your mind's just almost getting off of work.
It's true.
I almost say that like for those 7 years, I don't even remember. They were great years. And that was just a part of my life. That was just, I was in Vancouver on a show and that's what it was.
It's the best. Yeah. It really is. It's, you know, look, to be working as an actor means you are lucky. It is. It's great. I'm very lucky. Like I'm able to come down the Vancouver to LA thing. I try and make an effort to come down as often as possible.
Do you work every day on the Flash?
No. It takes about nine days, sometimes 10, sometimes more if it's a crossover to do an episode. And I probably work 7, sometimes 5 or 6, sometimes all 9. So if I have a day off, they're really great about trying to give me a Monday off or a Friday off so I can come home.
Now, do you consider The Flash as your big break? Because you've done a lot of work. I love that you've done a lot of horror movies because I'm a huge horror movie fan. And you've been called a scream queen.
Yes.
But you were in Friday the 13th with Padalecki, Jared, who we love on Supernatural. You were in The Crazies, which I love, and I don't like many horror movies. I actually really love The Crazies.
It's cool.
It was very original.
And it was such a cool cast, too.
It was creepy.
It was super creepy.
Did you ever think?
And like a little bit of a political sort of spin to it.
A little message.
Yeah.
Little.
The water's
yeah.
being poisoned.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Do you like doing horror movies?
It's so funny. Again, I'm super sensitive and everything gives me nightmares. Like there are so many shows that I can't watch. Again, Homeland. I loved that show.
Right.
I can't watch it the night it comes out because I'll have nightmares. So I used to have to like wait and watch it. So I'm super sensitive. So I never watched horror movies. So
well, hang on a second. You're married.
Yes.
Hayes.
Yes.
Okay. Does Hayes like any of these things that you don't like?
Oh yeah, definitely. He. What were we just talking about? Oh, Westworld. I haven't even seen Westworld.
Because it's too dark for you.
Yeah. Would give it's nightmares.
That's now, is there anything therapy can do for you? Because I go to therapy for many things. So maybe you go to therapy and all of a sudden I could watch a horror movie. I know the difference between fantasy and reality.
I do know the difference.
I don't know if you do because there's some fucking good horror movies out there that you're missing, Danielle.
But I could watch them. It just would have to be daylight.
Does that really matter if it's daylight?
Yeah, it has to. I think daylight helps, and also like not going right to sleep is also very important. Like I can't watch it right before I go to bed.
Maybe that's the difference. I take a Xanax before I go to bed. See? I don't have a choice. I just a half.
Silence everything up here.
My doctor said though it's okay if you just take a. I'm like at a really low dose just to help me shut my mind off. But if you go any higher, if you keep getting bigger on the, then it becomes a problem. That's never been a problem. It's just a tiny little.
That's good.
I'm just asking for validation, Danielle.
Okay? I mean, everybody look to each their own. I'm a big believer in everybody has to.
You're saying Xanax.
Yeah, well,
I'm a big believer in.
I'm a fan, but also a big believer in like everybody has to do what's right for them. Like I can't. It's not my job to judge what's right for you or what's right for anyone else.
Right. So, all right. So you we jumped the gun.
We jumped around a lot.
Did. But no, that's okay because you jumped around a lot as a child.
Yes.
And this is sort of like the theme to your life. And you're in California, and do you end up just staying here? You don't ever go back. You never go back to Chicago.
Basically, no. We came out here for our pilot season.
What year is that?
Probably 2003. My sister and I both did pilots. My sister's pilot went. It was a show called Summerland. And shortly thereafter, I did a mini series for HBO called Empire Falls. And so we just were working so much that my parents sold the house in Chicago. I didn't even go pack it up. I think my grandparents like helped my dad pack up the house in Chicago. And I just never saw it again.
And you've been here since 2000?
2003.
So 14 years.
2004, yeah.
And so it hasn't slowed down. Like your career pretty much has just been steady.
Again, I've been very lucky.
Well, I think also you have to give yourself a little credit. You have tenacity, you're talented, you're, you know, I think being driven is a big part of it.
Totally. It's 100%. Like,
you know,
because so much of this business is rejection. And like you have to just be, in my case, stubborn enough to just keep showing up.
What did you ever, have you ever cried? You said you're emotional a little bit.
Do
you ever,
sure.
After an audition?
Oh yeah.
What's one audition you remember that you wanted so bad?
It's so funny because you brought it up, but Mean Girls, that director. So this is going to go back. So one of the first things I ever came to LA for was to screen test for Freaky Friday.
Uh-huh. They switched the roles.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I tested for it and the producer was Andrew Gunn and the director was Mark Waters. And I tested for it and it didn't go my way, obviously. And then the script for Mean Girls came around and I loved the script and Mark was directing that as well. And I went in and I did table reads for Paramount and everything.
Oy.
And originally, I think there, I mean, look, my agent could have been lying to me. You never know in Hollywood, like what spin is put on things. But originally they were looking at me and Lindsay to play the Regina George role. And then at the last minute they switched it. So I didn't get it. And I like cried on the couch.
Really?
Oh, it's so sad. Oh yeah.
I think that's normal for women to cry or men to cry. I think it's weirder, though, if a man cries after he didn't get a part. That's really kind of weird.
Is it? I don't know. I feel like if you're invested in something, like...
Come on. If your husband came home and goes, oh, my God, I didn't get it.
He's not an actor.
It's just weird. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Did you say to yourself, I'm never marrying an actor?
I don't know that I said I'm never marrying an actor. I dated a few actors. It's a hard thing. Like, my husband's an attorney, and his schedule's so normal and so predictable, and he works so hard, which is great, but, like, you know, an actor's schedule and life is so unpredictable. For me, I think the balance really works for us.
Does he run lines with you?
He doesn't really run lines with me.
Why not?
Well, because there was one time, and this is sort of early on when we were dating, I was going to be on a show called Franklin and Bash where I was going to play a lawyer. And I was running my lines with him because some of it was legal jargon.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to run it with him and make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, whatever. And like halfway through, he looks at me and goes, just so you know, this would never happen. And I was like, yes, it's a TV show. I'm very aware.
And on top of it, you're never reading with me again.
I think he would if I asked him to. I think, you know.
I guess the good thing about not dating an actor, if you are an actor, it's nice to hear what he's doing at work and
yes.
the case that he's working on, although it's confidential. He probably divulges.
Oh, it makes me crazy how much he can't tell me.
Right. I'm sorry. I signed a confidentiality agreement. I can't do that.
Well, everything is client attorney privilege. So it's protected. Like he literally can't tell me anything.
Is he an entertainment lawyer?
He is now.
Did you renegotiate your deal for Flash?
No, I wish. Shoot.
Isn't it something how, like anything else, like anybody listening, if you have a job and after a few years and your company's doing really well, let's imagine you're working for a company called Alcoa, happens to be a company in Indiana.
Okay.
And you start working there and you, along with a couple of others, the business since you started
is really growing and the company's making a lot of money. And then you go, hey, I've been here for a couple of years. I like to renegotiate. That's what it, that's all it is. That's like, and so what's
I'd
amazing.
I'd like to renegotiate. I would like a bonus for like anything.
Yeah.
For I don't, saying, you know, they don't, you worked really hard and we appreciate you.
Once somebody once told me, they said, you have, somebody once told everybody, you have to separate business.
Yes.
You have to do it from personal. And I'm like,
it's so hard. I think, especially as artists, though, we are giving, you know, like it, I don't know. I do, again, I maybe perhaps attribute it to me being sensitive as well, but like, it's hard not to take it personally.
Yeah, I'm sensitive. It's like, here's what it comes down to. It's validation in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Hey, do you like what I did? Do you think I'm worthy of a raise?
Yeah.
Do you think that I'm good enough that I provided some sort of entertainment to fans, that I'm an integral part of this? This whatever this is in any work in any line, and everybody will have to say yes. And it's very. I went through hell.
Really?
Oh yeah, I've been through hell a few times. But I'll tell you what. You know, it comes down to when you're the last show I did. It only lasted a couple of years, and I'll say that absolute awesome to work with. TV Land.
Oh yeah.
Believe it or not, TV Land. Keith Cox and Seaman, all those guys
also
over there.
Also shot in Vancouver.
Also shot in Vancouver. We did two seasons, but I'll tell you what, they up front, not, I'm not talking monetarily, they just made me feel like I was a part of their decision. Like, hey, so I really would like this. Great. Like they made it, like I'm happy that I'm working for this company.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt. So from the get-go, I felt like, I love you guys because you just gave me, just treated me with respect. And that's all everybody wants. I don't think anybody looking for a raise at any job they're looking is just want a little respect.
Yeah.
How about your boss comes up to you first instead of you asking for a raise and says, hey.
Right.
Hey, Michael, I just want to say you deserve a raise.
Great work.
Great work. How often does that happen?
On our show?
No, I don't want you to get in trouble. I'm just saying in general, it doesn't happen very often. They take the initiative. I like to take the initiative. I tell my assistant, Jess, it's like, hey, you're doing an awful job. You're not going to last through Christmas. No, I don't. But I, you know, I say, hey, great job on that. Really, I really appreciate you. You do things.
Yeah.
That's life. That's well, of course, that's not life always, is it?
No. No, but I do think that sort of thing does help create a better, more positive working environment.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
You worked with Kevin Costner.
Oh, I did.
I auditioned
for
him once.
What a dream.
I cried. I didn't get it. Post-name.
Did you cry?
No, I didn't.
See?
I cried in the scene.
All right. That's where you were channeling everything.
But I remember one thing about Mr. Brooks.
Okay.
The scene where you take a pair of scissors and stick it in his neck. And I said,
and
Rob.
And then I put the glasses on, and that was Kevin's idea.
Because to become him, right? But, you know, I said to Rob, Rob's like, I've seen the movie. I was like, I want to, let's bring that scene up again. It was dope. And he goes, I've
it's
seen
so
it.
Cool.
But right, Rob?
Yep. We did it right before
and
you
we
got
loved
here.
It. And it's really a tough scene. And I'm watching that and it's just your acting because you didn't say anything.
No.
In that moment. And just you do this weird thing with your body where you just go.
I wanted it to feel very like primal and animalistic. Look, that was so fun. Like working with Kevin was a dream. It's like true. Like that's like a playground. Like you go to work and you play.
Yeah. I don't know that because he didn't cast me.
There's still time.
No, there is. I really did. You know what? I remember auditioning for the postman and I walked in this office and he goes, Michael, hey. And I go, hey, Mr. Costner. He's like, Kevin, man, come on, fuck off. And he goes, sit down, man. And I go, sit on the couch. He goes, no, sit on the floor. Let's work on this scene awesome. Together. And we worked on it for an hour.
It's great.
And I still didn't get it. I couldn't figure it out.
But look, you had such a cool
experience. I did. It was an experience. It was an experience. You've had a lot of great experiences.
I have.
And you've done a lot of horror movies, but you hate horror movies.
I didn't say I hate horror movies. I just can't watch them at night before I go to bed.
Well, how do you feel about when you're acting in them?
That's also like the embarrassing part for me is it's like you acted in this movie. You know when the bad guy's about to jump out and you're still scared? Like, come on.
You can't watch yourself even die?
I don't like watching myself, period. So like watching myself in a horror movie, I don't know.
Why don't you like watching yourself?
Because I'm so critical of myself.
I am too, but do you ever look at yourself and just say, God, I was fucking good there?
Nope.
Not once.
I don't think so.
Not once your whole life. I've said it before.
I don't know.
I've said, God, you're awful. God, you're milking the camera. God, you're not working. Yes. God, you're working it. Yes. God, you deliver your lines
it's true.
Like a
what
fraud.
What face were you making? Like,
yep.
Really? That was as good as you could do?
Oh. I've called myself a fraud.
I mean, I think actors, like, because, you know, we know when we're faking it. Like, you know, even if you can fool anybody else, you as an actor, I think, do know when you're faking it.
How hard are you on yourself when you're acting?
Pretty hard. I think, like, if you watch the bloopers of Flash, like, I'm the only bloopers you really see of me are me cursing because I'm so frustrated with myself that I'm messing up.
So you're a serious actor. You take it when you get to work. You're serious. Are you fun? Because I've worked with actors or actresses that aren't fun, and I'm a kid. I'm the opposite.
Oh, our set is so goofy. And because most of my co-stars are theater actors originally, they, I think we all come to work prepared and knowing your lines.
Good.
Yeah, it's great. It's the best because as soon as you get there, like as soon as we've gotten the master, all bets are off for how ridiculous it's going to be. Tom Cavanaugh's mission in life, I think, is to mess me up as much as possible and to make everybody laugh all the time.
So, good.
So it's a really, like, yes, we take our work seriously. We come to work prepared, you know, having done our homework, but we are pretty goofy.
How's Grant?
Great.
Is he great?
He really is.
He's a young guy.
Yeah, but you know what? He's been doing this a while and he did theater. I adore.
He's the Flash.
Yeah, I had Grant and his fiance, you know, like, they're two of my favorite people.
Some fan goes, why weren't you the Flash? And I go, well, because I could be his father and my body's not near as good as his. But yeah, I was just the voice. It doesn't really matter. But
you
that
were?
Was fun. I was the voice for the Flash called Justice League. What was it? Unlimited.
That's awesome.
For a couple of years. It was great. It was a great show. It was fun. It was voiceover. You've done voiceover stuff.
Yeah,
it's voiceover the best. It's what a dream great. Job, right?
100%.
I mean, it's like you're a kid again.
Yeah.
You work with Tom Felton.
I did.
How was Tom Felton? That's Malfoy.
So I'd actually known Tom for a long time. My best friend Juliana did a movie with him probably 7 years ago. And so I'd known Tom for a while. And he actually called me before he came on the show and said, he said, do you really have as much fun as it looks like you're having? And I said, yeah, we do. Like, again, same thing I just said to you. Like, we come to work prepared, but we do have a great time up there. So it was great. He was a wonderful addition to the show. He brought a really nice energy.
Yeah, he's a genuine guy. He seems like a really nice guy. He's really quiet.
He's got a big heart. Yes.
He's a really quiet guy, keeps to himself, kind of, but very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you talk to him.
Yes.
Which I did.
Yes.
I wasn't gonna talk
but I feel
to
like
me.
That's a lot of actors. Like, you have to, like, they're actually nice people. Yeah. They're just, like me, very shy. Like, I can be sort of shy to, like, say hello first.
I'm just so uncomfortable that I feel like I have to create this confidence and energy that I just...
There you go. Fake it till you make it.
Well, I'm never comfortable around people. I'm starting to get comfortable with you now. In the beginning, we didn't know each other, but I feel now we're talking, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of fun?
No, it's a lot of fun. No, it is. That's what happens. I'm nervous at every interview, and they're interviews. Who cares? But I start to get to know people, and I have fun. But I go to parties, and I don't go to parties a lot, but when I have to,
in LA, or...
if I go to a party or if there's a lot of celebrity, I feel like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Do you feel weird?
Oh, 100%.
What story do you have where you met a celebrity, one of your icons, and you just didn't know what to say, and you sounded like a fucking idiot, and you laughed, and Hayes went, oh my God.
I'm generally too shy to say anything to people. Although this was maybe a couple years ago, Downton Abbey. I loved Downton Abbey. And we were in line waiting to go in, and this guy said hi to me, and I'd known him. I hadn't seen him in a long time, but he'd known my sister, and he was with this girl. And I said hi to her, and I said, we know each other. And she gave me a funny look, and I said, Danielle. And we talked for a minute, and I was like, I swear we know each other. Like, I can't place it.
I know what you did.
I can't place it. And whatever, we go into the party, and it's like 30 minutes later, and I looked at Hayes. I was like, we don't know each other. She's from Downton Abbey, and I just hugged her like we were best friends.
So that really... You know what? That's happened before because I do get that a lot. People think they know me.
Right.
And they
I think
come
that's
on,
also
– Yeah.
Because of TV in particular. Like, I think it's a little different with actors who are on TV because they're in your home. Like, I think that's something that I've come to appreciate over the years is, like, I live in somebody's home. Like, I feel like a part of, you know, like, they're so used to seeing me on Tuesday nights in their house that it feels very familiar. So they – like I did with that poor girl, felt like she was my best friend.
I always fuck with people.
Do you?
Yeah, in a fun way. I'm very fun. Like, they'll go, do we know each other? I'm like, yeah, we went to college together. And they're like, no. I'm like, I'm pretty sure. I'm like, no, you're like 20 years older than me. And I'm like,
that's funny.
Maybe I was really smart like Danielle Panabaker.
Maybe.
But that happens a lot. The worst thing you can do, though, to someone is, what do I know you
from? The worst.
Because here's why. It's not because I don't want to, whatever, converse with you or say, I feel like a freaking idiot.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, inevitably I'm going to list the 18 things you've never heard of, let alone seen me on.
Same thing
and like now I look desperate and I'm sorry that I don't know exactly.
I fuck with people then too. I say, they go, what have you been in? I go, Saving Private Ryan. Have you seen that? They're like, oh my God. Yeah, I wasn't in that. I wasn't in that one. So I make it more fun.
Do you? I try nowadays. I'm like, do you have kids? Like, are you around kids? Because like I try and gauge what they might know me from. Because right. like if they have kids, maybe they know me from The Flash. Maybe they've watched a lot of Hallmark movies. Maybe they've watched a lot of horror movies. Like, you know, I have a lot of different demographics.
Do you know what Steve Martin would do?
No.
Somebody came up to him and go, hey, can I have your autograph? Or, and he goes, no, but you can have this. And he'd whip out a card and he'd give it to him and said, you met Steve Martin.
Oh, that's cute.
Of course, that was Steve Martin.
I like that.
Yeah, but if I did, it'd be like, you met Michael Rosenbaum. And then underneath, who gives a fuck? I don't know that person.
That's
but that's
funny.
A kind of a cute thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And I also, you know, I like the idea of like having a piece of paper. Like I'm a little old school that way. But like, I think that's cool. Like,
what if he just
card?
Didn't say anything and just gave him a business card and walked away? That's kind of, what a bitch.
I'm sure someone would say that.
Right?
Yeah.
So The Flash, Caitlin Snow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard you talk about this. I think probably in the beginning of the series, you're like, okay, this is a fun role, but it's like, I want to get out of the office. I want to turn into.
Yes.
Right? You want to, and how?
Absolutely. Look, I'm on a superhero show. I want to be a superhero.
Do you not think I knew when I was like good Lex and I was like, when do I get bad?
When? So how long did it take?
I didn't really become really bad till late on the show, like probably started like season 3 and 4, which starts for you, right?
Yes. We saw Killer Frost, my villainous alter ego. She made a very, very brief appearance in season 2. And then she showed up at the end of season 3.
And how much were you dying in between going, why can't we be here again?
Last year in particular was really hard because at the top of season 3, they promised me that all this great stuff for season 3 for Killer Frost. And it's like they forgot. Like, they just got so sidetracked with other things that it wasn't until, like they sort of talked about it in the beginning. Like, episode 7's fantastic for Killer Frost. And then I think it's about 12 episodes again before she's even referenced.
Now, it's a confusing world, not for the big comic book fan.
World.
Smallville was sort of linear. Lex is good, and Clark's good, and they're young, and they're friends, and they become bad.
Yeah.
And bad friendship, and then Clark becomes good. But with
good
you, it's like all these alternate worlds and Earths, right? That Barry, he plays Barry.
Yes.
Right? Because I played the voice of Wally, but he's Barry.
Yes,
and so all these different, so it's hard to, you can't just come and watch season 3, episode 1 and know what the hell's going on.
I think season 1, you could really jump in at any point and hold on to the story. And hopefully now it's season 4, it'll be the same. I think we did get a little bit bogged down in time travel and multiple Earths.
How confusing is that?
I mean,
every day.
So I have another buddy at work, Carlos, and I always look at Carlos and be like, Los, what's happening here? Like, who is this? Like, what am I supposed to know that I don't know?
That's all these Easter eggs. On every movie I do, every show. Every show I'll go, hey, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
Oh, this is when Lex does that or whatever.
Yes.
I like to be enlightened, even mm-hmm. if I know it. Sometimes I don't even know it when I think I know it. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I act and I'm like, wow, I watch an episode or something I did and I go, that was really interesting what you did, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
God, where was the effing director on that
right?
one? Yeah.
Our show too, there's so many special effects and so much is added in post for us that it's, you know, we were fighting a bad guy last week and I was like, and what does this look like? Like, what am I picturing? You know, and there's other people at the scene and it's like, okay, so where are we all looking? Like, how tall is this person?
Right. Have you ever walked off set in the history of your acting? Have you ever just got so upset with something that you had to walk off set and deal with your emotions in the trailer?
Nothing's coming to mind. I also, I don't know why I have like, such, I feel so much responsibility to our crew and to the people who are also there for us that, like, I feel like I would, my instinct would be to just stuff it down and deal with it later. Like, stand on your mark, say your lines, do your job, and deal with that later.
Right.
You know, because I feel badly if I keep, you know, if I overslept and keep 150 people waiting.
Like, have you ever overslept?
No. Nope. I set like 18 alarms.
My assistant, Troy, he's been an extra on The Flash. He does a lot of extra work in Vancouver. Troy Rudolph, great guy. But he was my assistant on Smallville for the last season.
Okay.
And I've never been late in my entire life. And he slept through it. And he was supposed to pick me up, and I was late to work that day.
Oh, my. Like that.
And I was so, I didn't say a word. And the next day, I don't know how it happened, but he did it again. And he hadn't ever done it. It's just one of those things. The power went out.
Yeah.
And it was just, I love him, but oh my God, I remember that day. Troy, do you remember that day? He remembers that day.
Oh, yeah. It's just.
It happens. Things happen.
Things happen for sure. 100%. But like, here's a crazy story. I fell and hit my head. I have a scar now. I fell and hit my head, ended up in the ER room.
When?
This is like 2 years ago. And it was a Friday. I had Friday off. I was getting ready to catch the 6. This is dumb. I've stopped doing this. I used to take the 6 a.m. flight down from Vancouver because I wanted to get home and have a full day. And like, taking a 6 a.m. flight is not fun.
No,
like, it's not great.
Fun.
The only way it's doable is if you do what I did on Friday and you work all night and then you go straight from work to the airport. Then it's like, oh, 6 a.m. flight, not so bad. But I was taking the 6 a.m. flight and I got up and I was lightheaded and I passed out and I hit my head. And so I hit my head and I had 7 stitches. My whole face was black and blue and I still showed up at work on Monday.
Did they cover it pretty good?
They cut bangs and it took me a long time in makeup to try and cover all the bruising and stuff, but like still showed up to work.
My God.
That's like, I can't, like, I don't want to make anyone wait.
What are the hours like on The Flash?
They're tough. Warner Brothers, I'm pretty sure, doesn't allow any show to shoot more than 14 hours, but that's a 14-hour camera day, which means, you know.
They don't count travel time.
Oh, they don't count travel time. They don't count, no. You know, for the actors who have to be there at least an hour before you, that doesn't include lunch. So it's not uncommon to do.
Well, wasn't there just an article about something that just happened, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was interviewing Tom Welling.
Were you?
He was on the show, and we remember, we talked about this, he was working such insane hours that we said, you guys, we wrote a letter to Warner Brothers that you have to get him a car. He can't do this.
Jesse and Tom Cavanaugh don't drive because they're New Yorkers, and we all, at first they were trying to make Grant drive at the top of season one, and we all sort of rallied behind him.
That's exactly
like, you can't. Yeah. Like, not Grant.
It just doesn't make sense in a business business sense of the thing. It's like
because it is long hours and it, you know, it's long hours for the cast and it's also long hours for the crew. But the difference is the crew can take a day off. If you're overtired, like take your Friday off. Like don't work a Saturday with us. Like
right.
It's like do your thing. Take care of yourself. Actors, you don't really have the luxury of taking a sick day or that sort of thing. So
it's exhausting, mentally and physically exhausting.
It's tough.
You know, you want to give 100%, and sometimes it just doesn't make sense to me. Just pick me up and take me an hour drive. Sometimes an hour drive for us.
Yeah.
Going nowhere.
Yeah.
Winter.
Yes.
Snow.
Dark. So ice on the ground. Rain. Yeah. All those things. I won't talk on the phone if I'm driving. Like, because I learned to drive in California and grew up driving here, I won't talk on the phone when I'm driving in the rain. Like, it really freaks me out.
So you don't like driving in the rain at all? You don't like horror movies?
I'm not really painting a great picture. It's not that I don't like driving in the rain. I just get nervous. I just want to be safe. Better safe than sorry.
I want to see you as a child.
Why?
It's like almost, I want to see what you were like. Like how this, there's certain things we do that we hold on to, but it's like,
oh yeah.
There had to be something that happened watching a horror movie and you just never forgot. It was so horrifying that, you know, you walked in and, you know, your parents were watching The Exorcist.
Bambi gave me nightmares.
Oh, like, boy. Oh,
Bambi God. After
can this
mom
be edited, Rob?
Yeah, we can. Come on. Cut this out.
How did Bambi give you nightmares?
Because of the birds. After the mom dies, the birds come in and it's really sad. It's really sad.
Do you still cry if you saw it?
Yes, for sure.
You'll choke up?
Yes.
Does your husband Hayes ever say, come on, give it a break?
No.
He's so supportive, isn't he?
Yeah.
Does he ever lose his cool? Is he because it's dealing with an actress or an actor is not easy?
No, I'm so lucky. And you know, as you know, our schedules change all the time. Like, look, to put up with the distance, it's not easy. Long distance relationships aren't easy, and he's been amazing.
Do you want children?
Yes.
How many?
2.
Will they do community theater and graduate from high school early?
I don't know. It depends on who the kids are.
Will you encourage them no matter how dumb they are?
Yeah. I'll encourage them no matter what.
Well, yeah, it was hard because my dad was really smart and my mom was really smart. And I had ADD and
really?
I was colorblind. I didn't even realize it. I just felt like, what am I doing? Like, why am I alive?
That stuff is hard too because, you know, as a kid, all you really know is that I'm not like everyone else. Like, you just know that you're different and you're struggling and, you know, you have feelings around that. And it's hard. It's tough.
Who do you want to work with that you haven't worked with?
Oh, Damien Chazelle, who did
Drummer.
Yeah.
What's it called?
You know what I'm thinking?
Raw.
And then just did La La Land.
What's the movie that got won an Oscar for the drums?
Whiplash?
Whiplash, yeah.
Yes. Yes, I loved Whiplash. I thought it was such a cool movie. I'm interested in like cool filmmakers like that.
Do you expect too much out of yourself? Like, do you have, hey, I want to be here by the time I'm this age, or eventually I want to just not act and just raise a family and move away from here. Are those all these things that go through your mind? Like what's going to end up you know, 10 years from now with you?
I don't know. I mean, this, I just turned 30. And I think.
So when you were when I was 15, you were zero.
There you go.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up.
So I think I had a lot of, you know, fear around 30, but I actually feel great about it. And again, I feel lucky to be working as an actor. Like, I've worked for a long time. You know, there's also been periods where I wanted to be working more, and I know how hard it is to get a job. So I'm grateful to be working as an actor.
I think that's great.
And I think you know.
You just love to work.
I am a control freak, and so I do think a piece of me, like, wants to have everything figured out for the rest of my life. But
do you ever smoke pot?
Not really.
Have you ever smoked pot?
Yeah.
You don't like it?
Yeah.
You like to be in control.
Yeah.
It's like me. I'm not a big drinker. I don't like maybe a little puff, but it's got to be Carl's weed, which I've talked about. Carl, it's super specific because it's just
things you know.
It's mellow. I don't want to freak out.
Yeah.
Like Jack Nicholson Day, Teen of the Shining. I don't want to do that. Yeah. So, you know, my friend, went to Burning Man.
Oh.
And, you know.
You did, or your friend did?
I went, and I never wanted to go. It's not for me. And my friend Harlan.
But you tried it. That's awesome you tried it.
Yes. And I went, and, you know, somebody he was with did acid. And he's like, it was life-changing. And I go, I'll never, ever do acid. Because there was this girl named Marie in college, and she was a sweet girl. And then she did acid, and she came back after that summer, and I didn't know her. She was, something was off. Something chemically got fucked up, and I will never do that kind of stuff. I don't trust it. I don't want to be uncomfortable going into something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't do drugs.
I don't really do drugs.
Does anybody do drugs on set?
Does anybody do drugs on set?
Trust me, those Canadian crew. Listen to me. They're all fucked up.
Not that I know of.
Yeah, when we were doing Smallville, I went out with those guys once. They were powdering their nose and like.
Oh, yeah.
They were fun people. We were young.
I think I'm too much of a goody-goody. Like, you know, even if they were, it's not like someone would be inviting me to join them.
Well, it seems like you got your shit going on.
Thanks.
You're on your fourth season.
One day at a time.
Fourth season of Flash.
Yes.
What's your Twitter?
At D. Panabaker.
And what's your Insta?
At D. Panabaker.
Can we find you on Facebook?
Oh, you can.
You can't even add a friend anymore, can you? Because they're all full.
No, that one's just Danielle Panabaker. I'm pretty easy to find.
And what's your favorite project up to date?
My favorite project?
Right now that you've ever done that you were just like, that was the best so far. That was the best thing I've done in terms of like enjoyment and love the project. Let's take away Flash just so you don't have to.
Yeah, the one that came up for me when you said that was Empire Falls. Like, that was one of the first things I'd ever done. Mm. And it was a incredible job to be a part of. I mean, Paul Newman played my grandfather.
Come on.
Yeah. Ed Harris and Helen Hunt were my parents. Like, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in the miniseries. Like, you know, all these incredible actors to be around them and to watch them work and watch the different ways that they work on
That's
this
incredible.
Incredible material as well. I mean,
do you ever get nervous?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Do you really still get nervous even on The Flash?
Oh yeah.
So you've been doing it for 3 or 4 years, 7 days a week. You work 7 days per mm-hmm. episode that are 9 or 10 day episodes. Mm-hmm. You're working with a lot of the same people. You're doing, but you challenge yourself. You're hard on yourself. You're insatiable.
Yeah, I think so. Like I'm about to, as soon as we leave, I'm going to head to the airport, and I will work on my lines for the week.
You get nervous.
Yes.
Like, do you feel like, wow, if anybody uses this first take, they'll see me nervous?
Yeah, probably. I also like break out in hives a lot.
But that doesn't sound enjoyable. Why would you do something that makes you break out in hives and get nervous? That's what I'm asking myself. This is therapy now for me because sometimes I get nervous at doing things and I'm like, why am I doing it then?
Because why would you do something that didn't challenge you and didn't stress you? Like, do you just want to be bored? Like, do you just want to do what you know you can, or do you want to push yourself?
Well, I want to push myself, but if I keep, like, after 4 years, I'm still breaking out in fucking lesions. I'm like, something's wrong here. Like, I do stand-up comedy. I just started,
How's that going?
Well, I would throw up, or I'd have diarrhea.
Really?
Yeah, and then my therapist was like, Michael, this is great. I'm like, no, diarrhea and throwing up isn't great.
Wait, why? Is it getting better as you do it?
Yeah, I think it gets better as I do it, but I'm so hard on myself with everything. Everything. And I think, you know, what I'm hearing from you is like, and that's something like every time I interview somebody, I get like Chris Hardwick. He was like, he had anxiety. He gets, you know, he doesn't, there's all these things. So the more I interview people and see how people react and people are anxious and people, it makes me feel better about myself. Knowing that you get hives and break out in herpes every few hours.
I'm kidding.
I'm just, it's not true. She's as clean as you could be.
You know, I think it's scary when it happens, like, but you know, your heart races and then you get through it. And then you can be like, every time you do stand up, are like, don't you leave the stage going, holy shit, I did it. Like, I didn't die out there.
I feel great after, but before I want to kill myself.
Well, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
But enjoy, like, I think it's important to enjoy the moment after and like really pat yourself on the back and say like, I did it. Like, I was scared shitless and I did it. And it's still like, it's okay.
This has been a pleasant surprise. Well, because I didn't know, because let me be honest with you, okay? Before I started talking to you today, there were
five... What did the internet tell you?
The internet said I didn't even look at these, hardly at these pages, really. I didn't even get into all this stuff, but I don't care because I talked about what I wanted to talk about and hopefully what you wanted to discuss. Five things you didn't know about Danielle Panabaker.
Oh, goody.
One, she's incredibly intelligent. We found that out, except for math.
Yeah.
Two, she is extremely generous.
Oh, that's a nice thing.
It seems like you're a generous person.
Thanks.
She has worked with her sister.
I have.
These are five things you didn't know.
So far, these are all true.
She has earned numerous awards.
Would we say numerous?
Mine was loser of the year for a wiffle ball tournament. I once won a Saturn Award for best incoming actor for Smallville.
Cool.
But one of my friends goes, what's next, a Uranus Award?
Something wow,
really
rude.
Put me back in my place. Number five, she started out with commercials.
I mean
these
we did cover most of those.
But these aren't the most interesting five things you didn't know about Danielle Panabaker. We found out more interesting
you
things.
Did, you
your
did.
Your fear of horror movies,
yes.
Your lack of doing drugs, your breaking out sometimes in hives from nervousness. This is what makes you human.
It
and that's
is.
Why I like this interview.
Me too.
So thanks for allowing me to be
My
inside
pleasure.
Of you.
Thanks for having me.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.